here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Well, hey, side hustlers and hustlers all over the world. I want to ask you a question. You know, you might have thought about starting one company, maybe two, maybe you have a side hustle and a main hustle. My guest today has started 14 successful companies. And check this out. She has been on Good Morning America, the Oprah Winfrey Show. She has speaking credits, including Summit, YPO, CU Boulder, and Harvard, of all places. And she is also known for her deep run as a contestant on The Apprentice. So I can't wait to hear about that. These are some of the companies she has started. Check it out. Sticker Junkie, love that company. Yoga Junkie, Delinquent Distribution, which owns the sales rights for merchandise on Minecraft, World of Warcraft, Call of Duty, The Walking Dead, and more. I probably supported her company with all the merch my children bought. Quarantini and Power Chick Mafia. And she's been featured in Wired, Entrepreneur, Forbes, and, you know, the list goes on and on. She started her first web company in 1999. So we're soul sisters. I started my first one in 1995. We're OG internet girls. So Andrea Lake, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Susan. It's such a pleasure to meet another amazing power chick and loving this.
Well, before we go all OG in the internet, I want to ask you, what was your first job that you ever had?
You know, I started my first company when I was 17 years old. The very first job I ever had was scrubbing toilets at McDonald's. Yeah, I forgot because I was 15 and a half and I had this whole babysitting racket that I loved, but my father was very insistent that I get a job with an employer where I was paying taxes. And so I did that every day for 3.5 weeks. And every single day I looked for another job. And I found another job working as a typist, which is not a thing anymore, but this was a while back.
How many words per minute could you
type? I could type 100 words a minute, which was exceedingly unusual back then. That's quite common now.
Well, we found out we're almost the same age too. So like going back in time, depending on how old you are listening to this. So when I was going into grade 10 and I was choosing my courses, my dad was like, Susan, you have to take typing. And I'm like, I'm not going to be a secretary. And he sat me down and he said, Susan, someday everyone is going to have a computer. And he said, someday they're going to have small computers that they carry with them and they're going to have regular computers. Wow. And if you can touch type, you will just absolutely own it. And my dad had that foresight because he was one of the people, engineers who worked on the first microprocessors. So I took typing and I would practice and I had, you know, just pretending the keyboard and everything. So what I did end up working as a receptionist as well for the city of Halifax, and everyone was impressed with my typing skills. So there you go.
Same. And you know what? My mother actually, such a similar story. What foresight from your dad, but my mother was a computer scientist. She got her master's degree in computer science in 79. She was the only woman in her graduating class. And so I just grew up knowing how to type, but she also insisted that I actually take a formal typing class because I wasn't typing correctly. She's like, oh, you'd be so much faster and you're going to need to know this in the future. What a bizarre connection that is.
When you see people doing the hunt and pack with them. Mm-hmm. So my dad once said, Susan, as long as you have skills, you will never go hungry. So what might be a skill you have outside of typing that people would be surprised about?
I don't know that it would be surprised, but the thing that I'm a shockingly good negotiator, which is good, but also just sales in general it's always been one of my strong suits. And that was the same thing. I just thought I'm never going to have to work for anybody else because I am always going to be able to sell products.
When did you get your first sales gig?
Actually, I started my first company when I was 17 and it was called Rhythm Sticks. And I handled all of the sales myself. It's those sticks that you hold one in each hand and you're throwing the center sticks around. I was doing about $70,000 in sales when I was 18, but that wasn't a ton of profit. So to supplement that, I did door-to-door fundraising. And if you ever want to become an amazing salesperson, go to people's door at dinner time and convince them to write you a $120 check. You will become phenomenally good at sales. So I did that for the first 2 years alongside of running my first company.
Were you ever a Girl Scout?
Oh, yes. Oh, I did. Right. That was the first. Cookies. Yep.
See, and I didn't know that about you, but I got that about you. So in Canada, in Girl Guides, obviously the same thing. So selling the cookies. Yeah. And then my first business I started, I was 11. So it was 1983. And I made Christmas ornaments. And I was, I took a business loan from my dad for $40. And then I did my CapEx, my OpEx, and I made them. Sold them and I reinvested profits and did all that. I did telemarketing. I did fundraising. I did all of those things. Let me ask, 14 successful companies, a lot of people come to you for advice. Would you say that sales is one of the top requirements for a successful startup?
Oh, 100%. You can have the best product in the world, but if you don't know how to sell it, you're not going anywhere. So that you yourself, like for the listeners, they themselves don't have to be a good salesperson, but if you are not a good salesperson, 1000%, you must, as your first thing that you do, depending on the type of company, one of the first things you do is acquire insanely good salespeople, because it will be the differentiator for you of whether or not your company makes it.
There are a lot of good products out there that never get sold. And there are a lot of okay products that have really good salespeople behind them. Fidget spinners. Like, I don't know why that just came to my mind.
Yeah. It's a perfect example. Yeah. Where you're like, how is this a thing? And then it just, the marketing is fantastic. It's everywhere. It's so easy to run viral articles on. And someone somewhere knew a whole lot about a sales to make that, or pet rock,
The pet rock or chia pets or
yes.
I met the kid who started the fidget spinner thing in his high school, covertly printing them on a 3D printer. And he's such a baller. I mean, by the time he was like 19, he was worth millions and millions of dollars, like crazy. Let me ask you, 1999, you say, okay, well, this internet thing is going somewhere. So what was that first internet company? How did you start it?
Yep. So the first internet company was Anti-Establishment Clothing, which was very offensive t-shirts. I was the offensive t-shirt girl. And I had the Rhythm Sticks. They were going fine. And then I met someone who was making $1 million a year selling t-shirts. And I was like, I am going to go do that. You don't have to manufacture a product. You can just go to a screen printer. Like, it's so much easier. And so I sat down and came up with 98 slogans. And that's how I started the company. I made the worst catalog that's ever been made. And then I just started going to stores. And then I made a much, much better catalog and mailed it out to all the tattoo shops and head shops in the country. And then I too had done some telemarketing mixed in with the door to door. And I literally just called every tattoo shop in the country and asked them to carry my stuff. And so this first year in business, we did like 150,000. And the second year in business, we did over $1 million. And it was an internet site as well.
That's outstanding. And people don't understand the power of supply chain and that you don't have to do it all. I know this guy, he wanted to make money and he's like, okay, what's a blue ocean t-shirt? And he decided to do Christmas sweaters for pit bull owners. In a 6-week run, he does $500,000. Then he was like, screw it. I'm just going to go live in Mexico on my money. And that's what he did.
Oh my God. I love that. And like, do you know, that is one of the lessons that we teach. I own a company called Teacher, which teaches people how to start t-shirt companies. It's myself, my business partner who started Tap Out, which of course has done hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in sales, and the guys from Die Epic and Combat Flip Flops. We teach people how to start t-shirt lines. We teach like the deeper your niche is, the more successful you're going to be, because like, how easy is it, especially with Facebook advertising, to hyper target people who own pit bulls, who also have expendable income? Like, oh, what a knock it out of the park. I would have bought one of those because I've had a couple of pit bulls. They're so good.
There you go. And I'm thinking about branding my 11-year-old Chihuahua. Like, seriously. Yes. Like, why not?
As well you should.
He was Pepe and he's very crotchety. In fact, he peed in my bedroom this morning. 14 companies. As I said, a lot of people can't handle one. How do you do that? You know, 14.
Yeah. Do you know what? You actually asked me for my secret power. It's like obvious that I would be good at sales, but my secret power is actually delegation and the ability just to delegate. And I did not start out that way. I wanted to do every single thing because I had that illness that people sometimes have where they're like, I totally can do this better than anyone else. And that is probably true. I probably can pack boxes in the most efficient way possible, but is that what I want to do with my time? So I just came to really early on accept that if somebody could do something 80 or 90% as good as me, then that was good enough. Because I think that perfection can create a paralysis in people of not wanting to relinquish the control on something.
That's so powerful. I always say perfection is a form of procrastination.
Oh, that's good.
And I'm going to take note of that for you because I find that, you know, right now I have 5 companies, so not 14. And that tendency to want to get in there and go, okay, if I was doing this project, I would have had the website up in, you know, 4 hours. I would have had it profitable in 8, you know, but I'm like, come on. So 89 to 90% is as good as you. And I think that is a phenomenal philosophy. What does your day look like? I know a lot of people are like, so what does she sleep? You know, what does it look
like? Well, I don't have all 14 right now. So I do actually just have 5 that are active right now, but most of them run themselves. Like Sticker Junkie, I've owned since 1999. And I go there like once or twice a year. The offices are in San Diego, the production facilities, and I tuck in and out of that company here and there. But my main focus right now is Teacher and Power Chick Mafia. And so my day looks like I wake up, I do yoga, ride my Peloton, walk my dog. And then I have a team meeting. I do a bunch of work. I get up really, really early and I do a bunch of work. And then I have our team meeting every morning at 9 o'clock Pacific, which I actually missed to be on this call. but then we loop around and prioritize our stuff. And then I just do whatever the assignments are for that day.
And what time do you go to bed?
I go to bed super early. I go to bed at like 8 or 9 o'clock and I wake up at like 4 in the morning.
How do I? So, that's like my day. So who's your favorite Peloton instructor?
Maddie. Is it Maddie or Mateo? I can't remember. I always call him Maddie in my head. He's phenomenally good.
I've been like, it depends on the mood I'm in. I've done every one of Cody Rigsby's XOXO rides.
Nice.
I love Alex, a good 80s, 90s hip hop ride. I love all of that. And and then on I love Russ on the yoga side.
Oh yes. Yes. So I actually just got my Peloton Bike Plus, the new Peloton, delivered earlier this week. But I've been doing the online classes ever since I ordered it 2 months ago, because with the whole rearrangement of society, I dropped my gym membership and my hot yoga membership. So I haven't done all the spin classes. I've been doing all of like the core strengthening classes and the yoga classes. And I'm excited to check out all of the cycling classes.
Yeah. If you need a laugh, XOXO Cody. So that's okay. Everyone around the world, just there's my insider tip for you. If your back was against the wall and you had to start from absolutely zero, what steps would you take?
Yeah. If my back was against the wall and I had to start from absolute zero, it depends on my skill set. So if it was me, I would start a courses company and teach. That's the easiest way. It's almost no dollars in. It's all time in. If I was just starting out, I actually would start a t-shirt company, because it's nowadays, like when I started my t-shirt company, it was actually 98 that I started anti-establishment. It was so expensive because you had to stock merchandise and stock inventory. Nowadays, you can use like T-Launch or Printify. You can get a website up with Shopify. You can have a good t-shirt company if you sit down and work on it in 2-3 days with great designs, great looking photography from the different services that make it look like you took the photography, but you're just dropping your design in. And then I would go on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and do a lot of free marketing, because it's all just time-based when you're starting out.
Oh, that, I love it. And going back to that, if you were starting a t-shirt company, what kind of investment would a person have to make if they were doing that?
So you could start a t-shirt company with $500, but realistically, if you want your t-shirt company to be really successful, you could just, you could do $5,000 and you could really have a successful t-shirt company. We have, it's just crazy. We have the craziest success stories in our t-shirt company course. And we've been doing this for a couple of years. These girls from Catch Some Air, they came to us, they had hand drawn by hand 47 t-shirts with Sharpies. And then they took our course. They took every single bit of advice that we have told them at all for the last 2.5 years. Now they've done hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales. They're in Walmart and they didn't have any backing investment. They ended up borrowing like, you know, the $1,000 that it was to take our course. And then everything else, they've just sold the shirts, taken the profit and grown the company really organically.
Wow. Okay, that might be my sixth business. Sometimes I'll be in our team meeting and I'll say, we have to put that on a shirt. We have to put that on a shirt, right? One of the greatest strengths, I think, in business is building a network.
Yeah.
And how important is your network to you, and how have you curated that network?
Do you know what it is? That is actually, I think, the most important thing, because then when you start something new, you already have all of the routes and all of the avenues. I personally grew my network by joining business groups when I was really, really small. I joined really, really small business groups, like local business groups at local chambers of commerce. Then as I got bigger, I was accepted into YPO, which is an upper end business group, and Summit, which is another upper end business group. And then I have always created my own events where I do potlucks, where I have people come in and just for entrepreneurs, and they can invite any entrepreneurs they want. And then we just hang out and chat. And I have all these fun games that people play to really get to deeply connect and know each other. And I also do an annual event just for all of my entrepreneur friends, where they come to my home in Sedona or in Boulder and just interact with each other, because it's like the most undervalued thing from people who are not yet successful. And it is the most properly valued thing from successful people.
That's so powerful. And the creation of your own event, right? That's something that I've done for years and years and years. So I do an annual event and just bring in friends to mentor. My passion is the new baby business owner, that person, like, you know, your person who's starting their t-shirt company and they're bootstrapping it. And then they're going, how do I understand marketing and legal and accounting? So My philosophy for our event has always been to bring in people who would give advice that people can execute on for free or just a handful of dollars. So if they're doing Facebook ads, like dollar a day, that kind of thing, because I want to change the failure rate of small business. Like, it shouldn't be 50%. It just shouldn't be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Same.
I love that you're on that mission. Let's talk about self-education, because you have a course, and we were speaking even before the show started. I'm like, my son needs to learn from you. His dream is to start a massive t-shirt company. How important is education?
I think education, however a person receives it, is of paramount importance. So I actually didn't go to college because my first company was so successful, or was successful enough, the first one. And then the second one was so, so successful. And even not having gone to college, I still get to teach at places like Harvard and Stanford, which is amazing. But so what I did was I would always find a personal mentor who is a few steps higher than I was. It's like, everybody wants Richard Branson to be their mentor, but Richard Branson is probably not going to mentor somebody who doesn't have any sales yet. So when I was first starting my t-shirt company, I got a mentor who was doing $1 million in sales. Once I surpassed his sales, I found someone that was doing 20 million in sales. And as I started growing my companies and growing bigger and bigger and bigger, I finally found my lifelong mentor, who is exceedingly private. He doesn't ever like to be mentioned by name, but he's, you know, a multiple hundreds of millions of dollar exit billionaire guy who just advises me on higher and higher and higher echelons of business. And before he took me, he required me to complete this massive, massive reading list with everything from the way that currencies worked to human behavior, to sales, to negotiation, to marketing. It was so extensive. And then throughout the course of the last 20 years that he's mentored me, he's just consistently sending me books on anything that you can imagine. But I do believe that education is just the key.
It is. And it's that it's making time for it, right?
Yeah. Because
if we're stagnating, our business isn't growing, our team isn't growing. I mean, people will say to me, okay, so how do you oversee these companies and you're studying at MIT? The story with MIT was when I became a co-founder of an AI company, I haven't coded since 91. Like I haven't coded a thing, and I coded in one language, you know, and now there are like so many languages. And I was like, what's the fastest way I can study AI? And I wasn't going to study AI on YouTube. So I enrolled in MIT, and it was like drinking from a fire hose. But I'll tell you, did I ever learn? Like, oh my gosh. But to your point, you don't have to do that stuff. It's, you know, you can self-educate, you can do paid courses, and really niching down. If you want to start a t-shirt company, you need to learn from Andrea's company because that's what they teach, right? So I want to ask you this question because I'm so curious. Like, how do you stay self-motivated?
Do you know, it waxes and wanes. And so I like to be honest with people about that. Like, I took 2 years off just because I could, and I didn't feel like doing anything. And so then I just get good ideas, and I just want to do them. And I love to create beautiful products. And so the way that I mostly stay motivated is that business is honestly just my passion. So like, some people are super passionate about gardening. I could do business all day long, every single day. And I just love it. So it's not like too much of a struggle for me, but there definitely have been periods of time in my life where I just want to like travel and relax and hang out with my friends and go to Napa and drink wine and not work. So that definitely does happen. But not that often. Cause even when I took the 2 years off, like I wrote a book and I still was checking in on the companies that I currently owned. So,
yeah, to your point, like that passion, and that's really the difference between people who achieve and those who don't. They really love it. And there are going to be challenges. I trained myself. I love attorneys and I love accountants. I'm married to an accountant, so I have to say, no, I'm just kidding. But like, I love you, honey. But I love them, and, you know, and I love that conversation. I love that stimulation, but you have to love all aspects of the business. And Dave Asprey was on the show not that long ago. One of the things he said was, you know, the people that take you to one level are not the people that take you to the next level. I want to ask you about how you choose your team. Have you ever had to let people go because they weren't growing as the company was going, growing?
Yes. It's so funny that he says that. I actually did a video about that, about how like the same team for an old company I used to own called Mentor Mojo, the same team that takes you to 1 million, 4 million, 10 million in sales, they're usually going to, that same founding team is usually going to cap out at about that 10 million in sales. Then the next team that would take you, and that's a really common trajectory, like first year, somewhere in the hundreds of thousands, second year, million in a consumer product good, and then 4, 7, 10, then you're going to move on to a whole different C team that's going to get you from 10 million to 100 million. Those are not the same people. And generally speaking, if you're not exiting at that $100 million annual revenue, then, and you go up to a billion, that's going to be a third C team. And it's just because the people that have the capacity to grow from 0 to 10 million don't necessarily, it's not the same skill set than to do a massive scale from 10 to 100.
Yeah. That's so powerful. And how, if someone has employees, what's your best advice when you need to let someone go? Cause that's a skill too. Yeah,
it is. What with us, I never have let anybody go who didn't really know that it was coming. So usually if they're going to be let go because of scale, I actually just from the very beginning explained to them that it is not the same team that will take us for 10 million to 100 million. So don't feel like you're being demoted if there's going to be, you know, somebody coming in as a new COO and you're going to transition into more of like an operations manager project in a specific project area, because it is that or nothing, you know? And so it is just a lot of communication. It's a lot of review of employee review. And then just really having those frank, hard conversations of like, you're so great at what you're doing, but we need somebody that can really hyper accelerate us. And this person has done that with like three other companies. So we really need to go in that direction.
Yeah, that's powerful. And it's really tough, you know, letting people go or perhaps demoting them or moving them to a different area. It's a challenge. And sometimes it's also the best thing I found too for that person. We let someone go, but as a startup, then they went on and they worked in Silicon Valley and they made four times what we had been paying them. So, you know, it all ends up being good. Final question for you. Someone listening, they're like, oh my gosh, Andrea's my new spirit animal. What is one book that you would say, this is a, you know, if you want to crush it in business and you could go on Amazon and buy this book right now, what would it be?
There's a couple that are so good, but you know what? I'm going to go with one that came out a few years ago. One of my girlfriends wrote it, who you probably are friends with, Nikki Agarwal. She's the founder of Thinks and, several companies. And she wrote a book called Do Cool Shit. And what I love about it is hyper tactical advice. And not only that, it has exercises at the end of each chapter where you're really assessing your business on what to do next. And I like books that are really, really tangible and give really nuggets of stuff that you can immediately implement to grow your company.
Okay. Yeah. I actually haven't read her book and I'm going to
order it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, if people do want to start a t-shirt business, and I actually want to know, because this is, I think, what I'm going to give my son as his Christmas gift. I'm serious. So how do they connect with you?
Yeah. So for the t-shirt company course, that website is teacher with two E's, TEEACHER.com. And for anything else that I'm working on, you can catch me at AndreaLake.com. And it has links to all of my current active businesses.
You are remarkable. I know. I could just ask you like 50 million things. But anyway, Andrea, I would love, if this show has been inspiring, we would love a 5-star review. If you're on iTunes, Spotify, if you're on YouTube, just take your finger and click the like button right now. Go in and comment. I actually read all the comments myself. That is one thing I haven't delegated, because I want to always improve and give more service to our fans and our followers. So I'm the one reading them. So if you want to say something nasty, I'll probably just delete it. But anyway, with that, this has been another episode of the Susan Sly Project. Andrea, thank you again for being here. Check her out at AndreaLake.com. Goodbye. God bless everyone. And we'll see you on a future episode.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.